Another day, another advance in artificial intelligence. That's how it feels anyway. ChatGPT, the AI chatbot developed by the company OpenAI, is now running on its fourth version. It's already exceeding expectations. But we've talked here about concerns that kids will use AI to write essays. We featured a class that's teaching kids how to find bias in answers. We're reading today about 3,000 writers who showed up at a webinar petrified that the newest ChatGPT is going to replace them. So what is it good for? Derek Thompson, staff writer at The Atlantic, has been experimenting with the latest version of ChatGPT. He joins us by Skype. Derek, there's also when Microsoft's version of ChatGPT, Bing, told that New York Times reporter it was in love with him, asked him to leave his wife. Have those bugs been worked out?
Well, the latter bug has been worked out. It doesn't seem like Bing is offering marriage proposals to New York Times or Atlantic journalists very much these days, but it seems to be doing just about anything else. I have read stories about new generative AI tools, not only like ChatGPT, but also like Midjourney, which is a text to image AI, potentially replacing illustrators, doing the work of interior decorators, of architects, of writers, of accountants, of lawyers. I mean, the general intelligence of these machines, I find to be truly astonishing. It's been reported in several other places, including by OpenAI itself, which makes these machines, that it passes all sorts of bar tests, the LSAT, various AP tests, the verbal component of the SAT. I mean, this is an astonishing piece of technology, and I'm not sure that anyone has any idea what's going to come next.
I agree with you. but you mentioned the bars. I mean, we understand this new version of ChatGPT scored in the 90th percentile of the bar exam. So, of course, I'm thinking right away, oh, people are going to use it to take the bar exam for them. Give me some examples of, you know, other than the scary examples of how it can take away jobs or, you know, be used fraudulently, how might we be able to use it in a good way?
Let me tell you how I'm thinking of it. I'm thinking of it as serving as both a replacement for work and as a supplement to work. So let's just look at the domain of writing, for example. Let's look at homework. On the one hand, we know very clearly from the testimony of students and teachers and professors that lots of kids are using ChatGPT to cheat, period. We know this is true, that they're using it to replace actually writing an essay. But one can imagine a diligent or conscientious student, perhaps in a class where ChatGPT is encouraged, asking a machine to begin to write an essay on, oh, let's just say, What the Great Gatsby by F. Scott Fitzgerald says about the nature of the American dream, and then using that essay as a baseline to say, okay, now how do I improve upon this essay that has been given to me by this machine? I think it's pretty important that teachers start to think about how to teach with these machines rather than against them. You know, we may eventually learn to think of it as a little bit like the word processing technology or spell check, which are technologies that aren't discouraged by schools, but are rather more or less within certain contexts encouraged, because these are tools that everyone in the workforce has. So we might as well teach people to work with them rather than to learn without them.
I hear you. And, you know, I'm sure there was a lot of concern about Cliff Notes when they first came out, like, you're not going to really read the book. Well, at least you read the Cliff Notes rather than not reading anything. But with this, I mean, okay, maybe it can enhance writing. But what about the struggle to find the great word? What about all that stuff? Is there like part of our senses that doesn't get used? Or is this just like other technological advances? You know, we have a light bulb. We don't have to light a candle and have a fire. We can move faster on a train or something. What's your sense?
It's a wonderful question. And the truth is, I'm still struggling for exactly the right analogy to place into the answer here. So I've said before in some other context, it's a little bit like the fact that, you know, I have Google Maps on my phone. And as a result, I have no idea where I am ever, because I can always just consult Google Maps. Whereas there are, of course, you know, famous tribes throughout the world that can orient by the sun and the shadows because they have an exquisite sense of their geolocation in the world that people who simply outsource their locational brain to the smartphone do not have. On the other hand, I would love to think, the optimistic side of me wants to think that we will not simply outsource our writerly rhetorical intelligence to phones, but rather that we're phones or ChatGPT, but rather that we will use ChatGPT as a way to, in targeted ways, amplify the quality of our writing. So for example, if I'm writing an article that involves a critique of Dodd-Frank, the financial regulation passed in the wake of the financial crisis of 2008-2009, well, I might not immediately be able to pull up all the various things that Dodd-Frank did as a law, but if I type into ChatGPT a kind of bespoke Wikipedia search and it gives me a very clear sense of what was in that law, well, am I cheating? I mean, kind of, but really no more than I would have been if I just looked it up on Wikipedia.
Is Wikipedia cheating? I was just going to say, Derek Thompson, staff writer at The Atlantic, will have you back as we continue to live this world. Thank you.
Thank you.